I would like to dedicate this week's cold open to every angsty Black teenager out there, current and former. This is for you. I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare. I'm just a kid, I know that it's not fair. Nobody cares cause I'm alone and the world is having more fun than me. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow. That was so, when did we get so integrated around
I was a little integrated around here.
Yeah, it was. Because you know what I was expecting. I'm 16 at war.
I should have went Karina. But if our main character was a young lady, I would have done Karina. Next time. So, somebody else give us a coming of age, 16-year-old Black girl main character. I will do my own personal rendition of 16 at war because that meant a lot to me. At the age of like 11 or 12, whenever the song came out.
I just love how your mind works. Nobody asked for your own personal rendition. Nobody asked for the remix. And you already are planning.
I already have a remix
of the, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's, you gotta think ahead when we're on this show, because it'll happen. It'll happen one of these days. And it's already in the back, right here. Back of the noggin. Right there, ready to go.
Well, thanks for bringing us in with that, Sid. That certainly relates to this week's movie, which is a listener pick. So why don't you tell our listener homegirls what we watched this week?
Yes, this week we tuned into Life Ain't Like the Movies. It don't be, but sometimes you got to do it for the plot. That's not the tagline, but I'm just saying that to y'all. this movie was released in 2021, currently available to stream on Tubi, and was written and directed by Robert Michael, I think. I like the spelling, though. And Patrick Butler. Starring Lee Parrish Scott, Cinda Williams, Paul Bates, and Jayla Mosley.
All right, let's start the show.
The New Chitlin' Circuit.
Welcome back to the New Chitlin' Circuit, the only podcast dedicated to Black indies only. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent movie. Why? Because we love them. And this week, because y'all ask us to, is our listener pick this week, y'all. And we're going to get things started with our 60-second challenge, where I tell you the plot of the movie in 60 seconds or less. And Sydney is going to keep me to that or less.
Absolutely.
Then we'll get into our general thoughts on the movie. And after that, we'll walk through the movie bit by bit. We'll talk all about it. Sid, how do we end every episode?
Y'all know how we do it. Each and every week, we end the episode, myself and the board members. We nominate somebody for our highly coveted Who Came to Act Award. And at the end of the season, only one of those nominated actors will be our Who Came to Act Award winner for the season.
Well, let's get started with our 60-second challenge.
Yes, this week's challenge, honestly, it's even more exciting because it was brought to us by, hello, our listener homegirls. Yes! My favorite Oprah impression. Alrighty, let's go ahead and get started now.
Okay, so there's a young man named Sean, and he's a quirky teenage Black boy, and his life kind of changes. He develops a new fondness for like telling stories via video when his teacher assigns him to do his personal essay on video, gives him a video camera, all this stuff. So he's going through life as a teenager. He has a crush on one of his best friends, but she is messing with some other boy, so that's stressful. And he also is going through conflicts at the schoolhouse, and he is dealing with loss in the family as well. So he's trying to become himself, even though his parents don't understand him, you know. And he's quirky and not, you know, he doesn't feel like a normal kid. And that's Life Ain't Like the Movies.
Fantastic. You get a whole 5 seconds there, you know?
Hey. Great. Hobashata.
Hobashata. Oh, no. Okay.
I don't know what comes over me sometimes.
You gotta add some praise music there next time you do that. In the
Let
final
God
cut.
Be true quickly. Hobashata.
Hello. Let God Be True Quickly is one of the funniest rephrasings of an acronym I have ever seen on TikTok. It is so good.
And to be honest, because that was Kim Burrell, no?
Yeah, was that her? I think so. I believe so.
She is like the Azealia Banks of church.
Oh,
she
absolutely. Is like, absolutely.
If she weren't so evil, we could sit here and commend just her skill with the English language.
We truly could. Like, and her talents. Because, yeah. Kim be singing, but good God, woman, just be quiet sometimes.
Just be quiet. God. I don't know. Read a book. Something.
Something.
But yeah, that just came on my spirit to say, oh my shit.
Oh my shit.
So now that we know what's going on in the movie, I'm excited to talk about it with you, friend. Let's get on into our general thoughts. Before we get into the review, want to take a second to thank our listener, Robert, who suggested this film for us to watch, and to say thank you to all of our listener homegirls who dropped suggestions on the website. So if you go to thenewchitlincircuit.com, you'll see the suggestion box, and you can let us know what movies you want us to watch. All right, let's get back to the show. So, Sydney, how did you feel about Life Ain't Like the Movies?
Yeah, this movie, and I feel like I say this a lot just in general conversation when I'm talking about TV and film, but I think this movie reinforced my desire, my just like deep want for the powers that be, whomever they are, to like place an importance on teenage movies again. So to have this movie to review and add it to our Black Indie list, so happy that we got to do it. I think I just missed the like, not even, yeah, the simplicity of just like an easy teenage movie with just like everyday, regular teenage problems. And that's what this movie gave us. And it also seemed like a labor of love. I'm assuming that Robert, the director, was also doing the VO in this because it seems like a very personal story from what the narrator was saying. So I think it really is his story that he did for film school. So all that to say, I enjoyed my watch of the movie. I think this falls under our category of did it just need more money? And I think, yeah, had this movie, like had writer director, been given like, you know, more resources to like make this movie, I think, you know, I would have loved to see this in the theater or like, you know, and another like straight to TV streaming platform. So yeah, I'm gonna give this one a thumbs up. We gotta keep the wave going. I am hashtag pro teenage movie. We need them. Okay. John Tucker didn't die for no reason. We need more of these films. So what did you think of Life Ain't Like the Movies?
That was a very astute cultural observation, Sydney. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know. I found it hard to, I think it was hard for me to like put my hooks into this one, like sink my teeth into it, if you will. Yeah. I did really like some of the elements of this film. Like there were some like animation pieces that were kind of like thrown in. Yeah. And I thought that was like, oh, okay. What a change of pace. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Lizzie McGuire. Yeah. I really liked the personal touch of it. You know, you can kind of really get the sense that the filmmaker was trying to tell a very like singular story of his, you know, mm-hmm. and I can never fault that because like when I look at something and I can see the heart in it, I'm gonna fuck with it off the strength of that. You know what I'm saying? Like I really hate watching movies where it's like, did you even care? Like I really hate that. You know, we've seen some ones that's just like, I don't know, you just spent money and hired actors, but I don't feel like you had anything to say. Yeah. And this movie definitely does not have that problem. There are a lot of technical issues in this movie in terms of like the sound and the lighting and stuff that were a bit distracting for me. I think from scene to scene, I was kind of like thrown out of the story because I'm like, damn, nobody hit the white balance button. Like, one scene is yellow, one scene is blue. Damn, like it's distracting. But overall, I do think the effort behind the movie and the heart behind it is probably what matters most. I would say, I think this would hit for someone who's younger, like maybe like a preteen, like Black boy who wants to see another Black kid, like, you know what I'm saying? Figure things out and have crushes and struggle at school. Maybe so. But I feel like I wasn't the audience for this, you know?
Fair. Yeah, I do find it hard to relate to teenagers at this point in my life. But yeah, true. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You write about teenage movies. I just rewatched The Breakfast Club last night. And the 80s and the 90s and even the 2000s had a good plethora. Supply of teenage movies. That's a really recent phenomenon where everything's fucking... Well, I guess Marvel has some teenage movies, but it's like, that's not the same. Like, Miss Marvel is not the same.
It's not. You know? It's not the same as Love Don't Cost a Thing. It just is not. And I'm going to sound like you for a second, because I'm going to get on my F capitalism horn real fast.
Oh, because, let me fuck with it,
you know, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody, all of these, y'all are so worried about the bottom line. Okay, which we live in a capitalistic society. Everybody, you know, we all need at this point in time money to survive in this country and really in the world. That baseline, you know, he don't.
He got more than enough.
Plenty. However, okay, these movies don't make anything to, they cost nothing to make, but you're spending $400 million on another Avatar movie. Who asked for that? You can make 10 teen movies, 10 rom-coms, 10 just like random little dramas, 90-minute films, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you're so worried, you can still stack your little bottom line. If you're so worried about it, it'll still stack up. It'll still come together. So I'm so over y'all. It's just not enough. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Make TV and film fun again, because I miss it. I really just miss an easygoing movie. I want to just go to the I'm just a girl. I want to go to the movies and watch my little film and come home. I'm so tired of y'all. So
bring back mid-budget movies. You know, please. You know what's a movie that has really grown on me from the early 2000s that I've rewatched all the time now? Sanaa Lathan and that white man in Something New.
Something New. Fantastic.
I love that movie. They would never make anything like that today, because one, they've lost the art of the rom-com, and two, everything got to be $100 million budget.
Yeah, which is I don't understand that. Like I just don't. We could all live in harmony. I'm so confused by it. Listen, I am on a personal mission to rebuild the teenage genre, as well as like rebuild our like rom-com queens. We used to have so many of them that we could you know tap for like insert rom-com here. We need to get back to that list. So I'm trying to, you know, get some of the new girls involved. So
if you were casting a rom-com right now, who would be your leading lady?
Oh my God. So I have a list. Me and Courtney go back and forth on this all the time. So let's see. Top of my list right now, because I'm really in the mindset of like, why can't they have it all? Pop star, movie star, you know, all of it. Coco Jones is top of my list right now. The girl can act. Okay. She can sing. She got the whole package, as they say. Yeah. Really loving her. Lana Condor, who did To All the Boys. Mm-hmm. Why is she not working more? That was a fantastic series. I don't get that.
You're so multicultural. I like that.
I am. It's real integrated.
I don't know when you got like that.
I'm going to name one more too. It's real integrated. Yeah. This is really going to top it off right here. My girl Simone Ashley, she was in Bridgerton season 2 as Kate. She would be fantastic. That's a talent.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm working with something here. I don't have the resources currently to hire these ladies.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. It's coming down the pipeline. Yeah, y'all just stay tuned. Yeah.
Yeah. You sue me if you want, you know. I don't know. Y'all could flog me in the public square, in the village square. If I was casting a rom-com movie, to be honest, person that's coming to mind for me is Miss KJ. would that have the theatrical wedding? I want to see her in a lead. I think she has it.
I like KJ Smith a lot. I do. And you know what? I'm not mad at that. I think she has it. Because we need like some more people on like the grown and sexy end of the spectrum too.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's my vibe. I'm not cute. I'm grown and sexy.
Yeah. We need some grown and sexy. The wedding was quite the time on TikTok.
But to me, it was just a 10 day long acting reel.
It honestly was. So and mean. Like because I feel the power of the pop star. We can't mm-hmm. be lost on that. And to have us that engulfed in like your, it was a 1 day event, but we were like that. They were talking about it for a week on TikTok, and I think that there's some power in that. You're right.
We were all held hostage by that.
I was held hostage. I couldn't get away from it.
I think it's always a good sign when a movie leads us to talk about the state of Black cinema, like in terms of certain genres, because like. We ain't been hurting for serious dramas in a minute. We're good there. Like, we're good there. But like, you know, and I guess we've done a good bit of like slapstick, hee hee ha ha, you know, like Ride Along. I didn't watch that. like that.
Sure. But that, even that movie came out like, is that like 10 years old at this point? Did that come out?
Yeah, that was a while ago. We were teenagers probably. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I'm trying to think. They did have that little movie with, John Cena, that's all he does. It's like slapstick comedy. So he was in that movie with Zac Efron and some other people, but I didn't watch it. It was on Prime. It just seemed like very middle school boy comedy. It wasn't for me.
I don't like that type of stuff.
I ain't tuning in. Yeah.
But yeah, we are hurting for some just good teenage movies again. Nobody wants to make a movie about a teenager anymore, and it sucks.
It's like, there's so many teenagers. I'm so confused.
Especially with what they're going through now, it's like I don't even understand. I feel for them.
Let the teenagers have an escape. They need something. Especially today, for real.
I saw there's some conversation. The white ladies are up in arms about their like spicy romance novels. There's a lot of discourse going on. And somebody was like, it's just wrong. I see these kids reading these romance novels, and all the romance novels have sex scenes. And like, I'm like, girl, I don't think you understand what teenagers have been doing since the beginning of time.
I'm like
we were passing around Zane books, and like, yes, it's inappropriate. Literally, like, you're not going to be like, able to.
It's the hot topic on this, like the 10th grade hallway. Y'all read chapter 5 yet?
Exactly. Oh, and you have the chapter bookmarked, and you stole your mama's Eric Jerome Dickey novel.
Literally.
Like, come on, just be serious. At least they read
it. They could do that like that in the shower. Like, it was a lot of that going on.
You know? So. Yeah. Kids are doing their own discovery thing, and it's always cool to just, you know, I think every generation of teens deserves to see themselves, you know?
I agree. I also blame the fall of Tumblr. That was like a teenage hotbed for us, and I think had we been able to pass that down, that would have been great for the teenagers of today.
The teenagers need the teenagers need Tumblr, because
they do
the voyeuristic nature of influencer platforms like Instagram and TikTok is making all of them like censor themselves and be so anxious about like they're always viewing themselves from some third party, like third person perspective. They need a platform where can't nobody knows how many followers you have. It's not about pictures or like likes or anything.
Just
like
reblog
that.
You thought that was cool. Reblog it.
They need Tumblr bad. But the main character of this movie would have really loved Tumblr.
He would have loved Tumblr. He needed Tumblr real bad.
He needed a Tumblr so bad.
Real, real bad.
Let's get into it. Now we know how we're feeling about it and how we feel about the general state of teenage media. So let's walk through it. Let's do it. Here on the New Chitlin Circuit, we like to start with the first scene in the movie. So let's bring us on in. We start in classic form. We get some narration and some B-roll. And this is actually kind of meta, this movie's setup. So the filmmaker, like the writer, is kind of doing a voiceover to introduce us to the idea of this movie. And he's letting us know that, you know, throughout his life, when he was a teenager, he had some pivotal moments. And these moments led him to his love of film and to like discovering himself and understanding himself as someone who was kind of different growing up. So then he passes it to teenage him, which is the actor who is the main character of this movie.
Yeah. I will say, opening it up, I was, because having like that context, I would like to say this movie, like it's 2021, like that's the timing of the movie, but like I wanted to know, I'm sure that just takes more time to, like, if the stories that he's telling in this movie happened, you know, much earlier than 2021. Because I'm assuming that this writer director here is not currently 18 years old. So like, right. Yeah.
That was yeah.
I'm like, oh, what time period are we in? Then I go, oh, this was like recent. Got it.
I had the same thought because, you know, so we get the premise of the film mm-hmm. is that Sean, the main character of the movie, is a teenage boy who receives a camera from his high school teacher, and he's supposed to be doing like a video log. So we're getting narration in the form of video logs, and then mm-hmm. we're getting these like scenes of things that happened, you know?
Right.
And during this part, when he's like at school in one of the earlier scenes, one of his friends is holding an iPhone. So I was like, okay, so this can't be like a flashback way too far. So I don't know. I guess I just imagine that the filmmaker is like our age, like late 20s, early 30s, you know? And
maybe so.
You know,
yeah.
There were iPhones when we were in high school.
It was, but this would have been a great time to like, let's talk about 2011. Okay, yeah. Pull out them skinny jeans. Let's do it.
Got my Vans on, but they look like sneakers.
Like sneakers. Starting to see spaceships from Bangkok.
We would jump to anything. And like, 2011 was like the last year you could get away with skinny jeans and like colored skinny jeans and jerkin.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good, sure. You know?
It was great while it lasted.
We were on our swag shit, futuristic.
We were that's swaggy nerds. That was the era. See, we need to. Yeah. That should be in the vault somewhere. Somebody got to capture that. Like, let's go back to the teens of the early, the mid aughts. Like,
and to be honest, this shit was a mess.
And we all looked a mess collectively.
We looked a fucking mess. And you know what really did it for me? Because it takes a while. Until you can like mature mm-hmm. and look back at your teenage years and be like, ew. But it happened instantly to me when I first seen someone show an image of a group of teenagers standing around in Nike Elite socks and Sperry's. And I said, oh my God, they looked a mess. Mm.
Between that plus the foxtail combo, when that hit the streets. Oh,
this looks terrible.
That looks awful.
Brother, you have on basketball shorts. Nike Elite socks, Sperry's, a backpack, a hoodie, and a damn rosary.
rosaries? I feel like
crazy.
The rosaries hit South DeKalb like crack in the 80s. Because everybody, nobody I knew was Catholic. None of us.
And that's what makes it bad, friend.
We all had
New York teenagers wearing rosaries makes a whole bunch of them is Catholic.
True, true.
In Georgia, we all nobody's Catholic.
We are all Baptists.
If you asked any of us wearing them rosaries, could you do a Hail Mary for me?
Nope.
We would be like, what? Like,
I'm sorry, excuse me?
What are you talking about?
This is cute. You don't see the colors on this? It's black.
I mean, I've seen Sister Act.
Right. This match my sneakers. What are you talking about?
Anyway.
You being weird. That's what would have been my response.
You being weird. Why are you making it religious? It's just
like, come on, this is not even all, it's not even about all of that. This is just like, why you got to bring God in this? Like,
that so insensitive that we was wearing that. But yeah, this movie didn't have that like sense of time. So I just had to kind of assume that this wasn't that long ago that the filmmaker mm-hmm. was like in high school.
Yeah.
Or maybe there were just some, maybe the time period didn't matter. Maybe it was just like, you know, these are things that happened, like that he wanted to recreate in film that like just weren't time sensitive. You know, I don't know.
Like some of the themes, right? Like not feeling mm-hmm. like you fit in, like familial loss, mm-hmm. you know, having, you know, strife with your parents because they don't like understand your interests. Okay. Those are things that can just, you know, are relevant in any period of time. So that's true.
Yeah. Like since the dawn of time, teenagers have been saying, you don't understand me.
You don't get me. Can't wait till I graduate.
Gosh.
God.
Or if you black, golly.
No, literally, golly, what's for real? Do nothing here. Oh, just wait till I graduate.
So Sean is, you know, he gets this assignment at the schoolhouse. He has two friends, Taz and Lola.
Lola.
Right? Mm-hmm. A boy and a girl. And they're just talking rah, rah, rah. But the first kind of big thing that happens with Sean is that somebody up at the schoolhouse calls him a nigga. One of the white kids calls him a nigga. E-R.
And they kept saying, that was a lot. The hard ER was a lot for me.
So he punches the kid and, you know, obviously he gets in-school suspension for that. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point of the movie, I was like, okay, I'm watching Sean kind of deal with things, but I'm trying to find in his performance and in like the things that are being shown, what's important. What am I really supposed to be like sticking on to, you know?
Agreed.
Because the actual like action part of this is taken over by animation, which looked okay. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, I thought it was a nice little
oh, that's cool. Like a watch. Yeah. That's fun.
Oh, that's interesting. That's and some animation in there. But it kind of took away some of the key points that I think would have been pivotal to see the actor's performance of like how it affected Sean were animated instead. And I was like, damn, well, I don't know. You know,
That's a good point. I think another like common theme just generally in like these teen coming of age stories is there's always just like teenage strife because you're 17 and everything in the world around you sucks. But like at the end of like the movie, there's some kind of like lesson learned, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. And there's what all that we're seeing you go through throughout the movie, then like the light bulb clicks at the end, like, oh, that's why these things happen. But, you know, I'm just a teenage person and I'll, you know, keep going until I can figure it out. And we get the end of like credit montage. And then Sean went to college to become a filmmaker and his little, you know, the whole thing. How they I agree that was missing here. All of that.
I feel you. But, you know, so at this point, you know, and I'll be honest, the movie, from a technical standpoint, like I said before, the movie is, it leaves a lot to be desired from a technical standpoint. You know, the camera is not, it's not given a whole lot. So when I see that, because I watch a lot of indie movies, as you do, friend, and as you do too, listener homegirl, that's why you tune in too. When I see that, you know, the budget's real low, I'm like, okay, let me ignore that and like look for the meat. Let me just, you know what I'm saying?
Cook
my meat. It's like when you get an empanada or something and you find and you bite into a piece and the dough is kind of underdone and you're like, damn, can't eat this. Yeah. But let me just get the meat out of this. Because the meat cooked. Let me get the meat out. That's kind of how I see a movie. Like, that's how I approach this movie. So this is when I start looking for, okay, I see I'm going to have to pick out the meat here. But I struggled to make that connection with Sean as a main character. And I think maybe it's just because I'm too grown. I don't know.
But I feel like I was more interested in his best friend, Lola, and what she was going through than I was with like Sean and his like, I don't know, day-to-day ongoing issues. Like, I mean, they were both like teenagers. They both clearly have these like feelings for each other. They've been best friends since pre-K, they kept saying. But like Lola got her a new man now, you know what I'm saying? He's supposed to be like the hot jock in the school, but he's mean to her best. Like Lola's story was great. Mean to her, like her besties. She has the cool older sister who always gives like okay advice.
Yeah. I really liked her older sister.
She was good. Yeah.
She reminded me actually like
tragic happens to Lola.
The older sister character for Lola felt like Love and Basketball. Was that Regina Hall?
Regina Hall.
It felt like that, you know?
Yeah. It's gonna Would I be claiming you if you was busted?
I found a
brother
you a
from
date.
My college. Look, I love that. A brother from my college.
Your college.
Your college.
Yeah.
Ooh. Does she know really I'm your sister? That. Of course, girl.
You know what? I would actually like to pivot to that because this is one of the main plots of the movie is that our main character, Sean, he's all in his feelings for his best friend Lola, which is like super common. At least it was for me. Yeah. Like super common where like, you know, a boy and a girl best friend. It's like, I mean, I don't know. You kind of cute.
I mean, we could. I will if you will. Do you want to?
Right. Like, right. But the thing about Lola is she's not studying him.
At all.
She gets approached by the popular jock like Chad. And starts going with him. And I really like the scene where she comes to tell Sean this because she's like, oh, and I'm going out with Chad. How great is that?
I'm right. Chappy. It's so cute.
She's on like cloud nine. Like, I think this actress really nailed it. She's on like cloud nine.
I agree.
And Sean is sitting there like a stick in the mud. Like,
if you like that, I guess. Like, I heard he was kind of a jerk though, but like, whatever, Lola. Anyway.
Yeah. And as this goes on, I mean, Sean's not wrong. Chad is an asshole. So, you know, you see these little nuggets of Chad kind of being like aggressive to Sean and then like kind of mean to Lola, who's supposed to be his girlfriend, you know? And we get to a point where, what's up?
Oh, no. I just kept thinking about when he's being mean to Lola, that scene where he's like playing basketball, I think he keeps going, what a fucking slut. And he says it like four different times. And I was like, oh my God, we get it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He doesn't want Sean and Lola hanging out. So he's playing basketball, telling his friends, I told that slut and I have to talk to him.
Slut.
I'm gonna really show that slut. Damn.
God. That's what's with your girlfriend.
Why she gotta be all of that?
A slut. He needed. Yeah.
He needed his ass hemmed
up. He needed a whooping. Yeah.
Yeah. He needed a whooping by somebody his age. Sean needed to knock his head.
Yeah. Because that was crazy.
It actually escalates to a point with this Chad guy, though, that Chad, what we have terminology for this now, he revenge porns, leaks Lola's, sensitive photographs, which is like, if you are a teenager listening to this, just please,
don't
take any photographs that, don't keep your clothes on, okay? Please.
Please. Yeah.
Don't do that, okay? Please. It's not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our Tyler Perry PSA. Because
yes,
we don't do a lot of pain PSA. We don't do a lot of those. This is ours.
All of our PSAs are to grown straight women for them to stop dating these niggas. Leave these niggas alone, girl.
Girl, love yourself. It's fine.
That's the only PSA we've had to the kids. Truly, please. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that you need to be taking a picture of your little thing or your little self with your clothes off. Please. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Lola did that, and then worse, Chad does the worst thing he can do, which is like post it on social media. Now, here's where the movie is like, I'm not sure if it's like all the way like meta or if it's just like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Here's I'm just going to lay it out. So it's called Life Ain't Like the Movies, right?
Yeah.
Sean, the main character, loves film. So he makes a lot of film references, right? And each thing that happens to him, like he loses his granddad in the movie, and we'll talk about that. He has a crush in the movie, and he feels really down bad several times in the film. And he's saying, like, I wish it were like the movies. Like, I wish, like, you know, it just doesn't work like the movies. Like, he says stuff like that.
Yeah. The nerdy guy gets the girl in the end. The jock loses all of his, like, popularity. And I come out on top with the fat job when they, you know, do the 10-year fast forward. Right.
Be gone, slut. You didn't like me then.
You didn't like me then. Literally.
Yeah. But ironically, though, all the stuff he goes through is exactly like the movies.
Like the movies.
So, like, him and his mama go over to Lola's house to check on her after this happened to her. And Sean is out there like, Sean prevents his mama from telling Lola's mama what the hell going on with Lola. Because Lola ain't told her own mama. And Sean's like, don't worry about it. I'm going to fix it tomorrow at school.
I'm going to handle him.
And it's like, you're having a hero moment right now. But in real life, any black mama would be like, boy, go get in that car.
Get in the car. Let me talk to Lola mama real fast.
Please.
you need to go upstairs and talk to Lola, okay? So right. Sean told me that some sensitive photos of her have been going around the school.
Right. She has to know. And that's how that would have
went. Yeah.
Like, literally. Like, what are you talking about? Like, as a parent, you have to tell the other parents what's
you
going
do.
On.
What's going on?
Don't worry about it.
My mama would have told me, who the parent? And I said, okay. All right,
girl. I hate
I'm going to go. I'm going to go get in the car. Okay, girl, fine.
Yeah, like, I'm going to just let you cook. Right. You the parent, I guess. You needed to hear
you the parent
that
today. You know, right.
I saw a video today. Somebody was like, ways that black mamas call their kids. And the first one was, who that in there? Can you get me? Who is that in there? Who that in there walking? Since you up? you... That's not a name. Who that in there walking?
That's not a name.
Come bring me some ice.
That's true. That is so true.
Yeah, man.
Dang,
black mamas.
I came downstairs to get myself a snack, and now I'm your little personal servant. Well, you
who
welcome.
That? Who that? Is that you? Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, since you're up, girl.
It's always that. So... Yeah, he keeps, even though it's supposed to be not like the movies to him, I don't know if it's supposed to be like intentionally ironic or something, but like
maybe
all
so.
Of his moments are exactly like the movies. And yeah. I want to talk about the most movie part of this, which is, it was a scene that I found it difficult to take seriously, which is supposed to be a very serious scene, which is when he finds out died. That his granddaddy passed away. Okay, he let just, me set the scene. Okay.
Please do, because then I have a direct reference to where this scene had to have been pulled from. So please set it up so then we can make this reference.
He finds out his granddad's passed away. He walks into mm-hmm. the house. His parents are holding each other, consoling each other. And they look at him and they go, Sean. And they tell him the news. Then everything goes black and white. And he runs out of the house.
Zigzag.
Across the lawn. Serpentine zigzag down the driveway to the street and
falls to his knees
and
Why?
Cries in the middle of the street.
That's Do it, you no remember way. An early episode of Punk'd with Brandy and Ray J?
Yes. Yes.
And when Brandy found out that she was all Punk'd and Ashton Kutcher and all of them ran out with the cameras and she ran away down the block into oncoming traffic and fell in the grass on the side of the road. That is what Sean yes. needed this movie when he found out his granddaddy had died.
That's what happened. And it's like, yeah. okay, wow. That's,
yeah.
I feel like I blinked and it was like, the most melodramatic thing I've ever seen.
Right.
Yeah. And the camera starts panning around, doing uh-huh. circles around him.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And yeah. I think, because that's what makes me think it's intentional. Maybe it's like bringing the cinematic melodrama to these moments
so.
That, you know?
I would like to give, yeah, the director, writer, director, the benefit of the doubt in this case. So I think that was the purpose.
Yeah. So... That happens. And to be honest, you know, those were the major like plot points of the movie,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, I guess we get at the end, we're 46 minutes in. He does finish his like video diary project. And at the end, it brings him closer to his parents, to his sister. He has some better understanding of him being this quirky teenager, as he keeps saying, reminding us that he's quirky. You just like movies. I don't know if that's quirky anymore, but that's fine. And that he can now confess his feelings to Lola because he has the confidence to do so. So he does, you know, the whole 80s classic boombox, or, you know, for our younger listeners, That's So Raven. When Devon and Raven were in that blue face. And he... you know, plays a song for Lola that makes him think of her. And she comes down, you know, her lawn and they lay in the grass and listen to music and confess their feelings for one another. And he lives happily ever after with his best friend turned girlfriend.
My thing about Sean is throughout the whole movie, the adults in his life make movie references to him. And he has no idea what they're talking about. Like, classic movies. And it's like, mm-hmm. you said you like film, boy. What movies are you watching?
What movies are you watching?
He really talks about what movies he's damn watching.
That's true.
I know he didn't see the white movie where the white man do that.
Because isn't that like Say Anything? Rock, that's the movie?
I think so.
The
rock he threw up at that girl window, I was scared. He was gonna bust
was
the window.
Big as he was gonna bust the window up. You felt pebbles, son, not a rock. Yeah. That was too much.
Damn.
Yeah.
You finna get in trouble.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. I guess another meta point
would be
that
so
we didn't
mad
bring
if somebody
up.
Did that.
Imagine.
Who is that throwing rocks at my house?
And if they bust the window, what? Oh, God, I would never hear the end to this day.
Literally, I know it ain't that voice sitting up there bust my window out trying to get to you like you Pocahontas. Like not Pocahontas. What's the girl? Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
Like you was damn Rapunzel. Ain't nobody trapped you up here. He could knock.
You could have rang the doorbell. I'm like, come on. Tell the young man to come inside next time. That's how that
you
would
have
been.
You want to piss a black mama off? Don't come up there and ring that doorbell. You going to go with Ooh. Him and he honked the horn at you?
He honked the horn?
I don't think so.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
But I guess the other meta point in this movie, his grandfather Pops, who makes a movie reference to a movie that he was in, he makes the Coming to America reference, and he was the singer. He's your queen to be. That was that guy from Coming to America. Yeah.
See, his this why name is you Paul here. Banks. Yeah, our pop culture expert. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have never even caught that.
Another the whole movie, cool. I was like, where do I know him from? And then the second he started, I said, oh my God. That is he from Coming to America. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens with Sean. I don't like that he got the girl in the end.
Yeah.
I think it would have been more realistic if not.
To not have.
But
I think we should be friends. Like, I don't want to ruin this. That's what most, at least that's what I would have said. I don't think we should do that, Sean. I got a man, but we should be friends.
Right. So you ready to get to the awards?
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm ready.
All right. Who Came to Act?
Yes. This week's Who Came to Act Award nominee, myself and the board would like to nominate Miss Jayla Mosley, who played Lola. Mm-hmm. Loved the performance in this. Hope to see her again on my screen sometime soon. So, great job.
Yeah, I agree with that. She did really good. Lola's character really popped off the screen. So, Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Well, thank you to the listener homegirls for all your film suggestions. Go ahead and drop one down on the newchitlincircuit.com. So the next time we do a listener pick, it could be your pick.
Might even hear it on the show. You never know.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, meet us in the Twitter streets at TNCCpod or over on Instagram at newchitlincircuit. Spelled CHITLIN. And to keep up with our latest, visit our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.